Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep, minute by minute, into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, John.
And I am Zach.
And we are joined by the spooky sounds of the wind again.
Yes.
It's been a minute since the spooky wind has shown up, but if you hear it in the background, sorry about that.
Yeah, I think the spooky sounds were here last time we saw the Emperor and the Princess.
They were.
It's just a running theme that they give. That's the energy they bring to the movie.
Oh, God. Well, we are talking about the Emperor and the Princess. And we'll also be talking about GHM, Gaius Helen Moheim, as we talk about minute 69 through 70 of Dune Part 2.
Nice.
So, we left off yesterday with the question being levied on Irulan. So, my dear daughter, how would you deal with this prophet?
Yeah.
Irulan begins to, you know, take a deep breath, and we start this minute with almost an exasperated sigh.
Yeah.
And she goes on to say, if this Muad'Dib is a religious figure, you can't use direct force. Repression only makes a religion flourish. You'll only end up humiliating yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick, I thought it was just really funny how Florence Pugh says the word figure, because she says figure.
Yeah. She has a couple of... there's a couple of like odd pronunciations in here. That one stood out to me too.
That one stood out the most. And I was just like, oh, that's funny.
Figure.
Very Alanis Morissette.
Is Florence Pugh Canadian?
I don't think so.
Okay. I know Alanis Morissette's Canadian.
Yeah, she is.
Oh, God herself. Dogma's back in theaters. It's on the mind.
It is. Fuck, I should go watch Dogma today.
That'd be a good day to do it.
I'm probably catching matinee still.
Heck yeah.
All right. Dogma it is. But you'll only end up humiliating yourself. To which Shaddam immediately responds, you underestimate my Sardaukar. And Irulan kind of gives him a side eye and is just like, you underestimate the power of faith.
Yeah. Great. Yep. Great dialogue. Great back and forth between the two of them.
They're playing verbal chess with each other, and she's fucking smoking his ass.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Shaddam kind of realizes as he, you know, chuckles and turns to GHM and is like, you gonna help me here? And her response is just, Her Highness proves once again that she was my most acute student. Definitely a jab at Jessica. Fuck you, Jessica. You're not, you know, witty and smart like Irulan is.
Yeah. And here's, I'm dropping the beef now, John.
Drop beefs.
This is where I've held on to this beef for too long.
For a minute?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, it's been a whole day.
Well, since whenever you did your notes.
So, I first have to say that I really like the interpretation of Irulan in the movies. We talked about it yesterday. Florence Pugh does a great job. I think the character is well written and serves a really good, important point.
Yeah.
However, this is a departure from the Irulan of the books.
Okay.
And it's specifically in this line that Gaius Helen Moheim points out. Book Irulan is never described as being a highly adept or top of class Bene Gesserit.
Sure.
She is described as being a fairly average student.
She's mid as fuck.
Yeah. And that is why the Bene Gesserit think that they can use her for their machinations, because she is so middle of the road.
Yeah.
Now, they do say that she's strong headed and she's, strong willed, which is why she is more of an average Bene Gesserit student, because she still holds on to those senses of self, I guess.
Okay.
So we see that a lot here in the movies. We're definitely getting that part. But to describe her as a top student is
false.
Yeah. And it's not consistent with the books.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense then for why you have beefs, and I can't disagree with them.
Mm-hmm. It's not a major story altering change.
Sure.
But it is like that just rang out to me like, oh, there, she's not supposed to be a top student.
It is a departure from canon.
Yeah.
I'll hold on to it because we've come to, our understanding that, you know, as long as the movie itself is consistent, then, you know, can't really complain too much.
Right.
I mean, we can, but,
and we will, but some of it might be unfounded.
Yeah.
So Shaddam continues the conversation. He's and he asked her, "You'd send assassins?"
And her response is, "No. Prophets get stronger when they die.
Yeah.
Let the conflict on Arrakis turn into war. You then bring peace as a savior."
Yep.
And under his breath, Shaddam just kind of, you know, has a moment to himself and mutters, "You'd be a formidable empress."
Mm-hmm. Now, and I agree with that statement.
Yeah.
The Erlon that we get here is incredibly smart, and she knows the political, you know, the game of politics.
Yeah.
Now, what she doesn't know, though, is that the situation that they're in right now
is all because of her dad.
Yeah. Is that, he caused this. So she'll, spoilers, she'll figure that stuff out later, and we'll talk about it a lot more later in the movie, but, I wonder how her answers would change had she known.
Yeah. I don't know.
But she's absolutely right. You can't just take out a leader of a fanatical base. And by take out, I mean kill. You can't just do that because that turns them into a martyr. And, you know, we don't want that to happen if your goal is to stop this group.
Yeah.
That is going to work against you. So she's, I think, saying the correct words right now, you know, come in there and be the savior, you know, save them from the conflict, I guess.
Yeah.
And reading between the lines, that it basically says, let it turn into war. And then you stomp out the Harkonnens.
Yeah. Stomp out the Harkonnens, stomp out the more fanatical Fremen, and then just be like, chill the fuck out.
Yeah, exactly.
Spoilers. It won't go that way.
So after this, you'll be a formidable empress line. We cut to the outside. And I do believe this is filmed at the sanctuary.
Yes, this is Breon Sanctuary for sure.
Yeah, beautiful. Oh my gosh, it's gorgeous. and we get some fast walking.
We get just power walking.
Yeah.
Gaius Hallan-Mohaim and Irulan. And Irulan, I think, in this moment is... You know, we only have one line from her, but she's walking with the bravado of like, oh yeah, I know everything that's going on, because she's like, Muad'Dib, the prophet, the one who points the way.
Yeah.
And that's where our minute ends. But like, she's walking with a lot of bravado, and you know, we'll come to see next week. She gets knocked down a couple pegs real fucking fast.
I interpret it as almost like, well, given the context of what I know is coming up, like the next part of the sentence, I assigned that to be, she's kind of pissed off right now.
Yeah. It's more of like a how the fuck did this happen kind of thing.
Yeah.
But we will talk about that.
We can't get ahead of ourselves. Next week. We got to follow the minutes. We can't get ahead of ourselves.
We do have to follow the minutes.
Yes. We were left with a little bit of a cliffhanger this week.
Yeah. But next week we're going to talk about this with a guest.
Yes, we will.
Yeah. At Muad'Dib Atreides on Blue Sky will be joining us, known colloquially as Atreides Nuts, will be joining us to talk more about Dune Part 2 on next week's episodes. And I'm very much looking forward to those episodes because it's a lot.
Yeah.
We're going to have, three major things to talk about over five episodes.
Heck yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to it. Yes, for sure.
This week was a bit lighter. Next week's going to be a lot to talk about. Yeah. So.
Well, John, speaking of this week, if you had to.
If I had to pick a number of Shai Hulud's.
Lays gun to your head.
Lays gun to my head. Okay. Is there also an acrobatic, you know, somersaulting Fremen that's going to stab me as well?
That will happen after. Yes.
Okay, got it. You're going to shoot me through a super dense dust cloud as you see my silhouette, you know, appear on the horizon of 10 feet away.
That has been my dream for years.
Sorry, hashtag sorry, not sorry. I'm going to go a little low this week.
Okay.
I'm going to give it a 5.
Mm.
Simply because, like, yes, we had action. Did I think that sequence needed to be as long as it did? Probably not.
Sure.
We got Irulan back briefly. We got Shaddam back. But all in all, it's just a kind of midweek. We're in a weird transitioning from one major storyline to another major storyline mm-hmm. section of the movie. So we can't really like build up or complete too much. We're kind of cliffhangering with what's going on Arrakis to divert our attention away from Arrakis for a while.
Sure. For all the same reasons you just said, I was going to go 5.5
okay.
this week. I like
a very rare instance where you give a higher rating than I know.
Sometimes it happens though. Transition scenes like this, and transition sequences can often be boring.
Yeah.
Like boring parts of the movies. I didn't think this one was boring.
It wasn't boring because there was a lot of action with, yeah. you know, Rabin and his goons getting fucking eviscerated by the Fremen. But I feel like that scene also, you know, could have been a little faster.
Sure. Yeah, it could have been. We get to see his brute forcedness, you know.
Just bite him in the ass.
Yeah. Yeah. That. And we get to see him tuck his tail and run away, which is also very fun.
Yeah.
We get confident Paul striding with his Chris knife in the desert, which is always fun. Love talking about ornithopters. Anytime we can get a good ornithopter scene, that's all.
Shout out to the heart mollusks.
Yeah, exactly. So, but still a little bit light on the content this week. So 5.5 for me. As far as like setting up the pieces for what we're going to talk about next week, beautifully done.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited to get into them with Atreides nuts.
Well, I think that's going to be it for us this week. As always, the Dune Minute is on Blue Sky at DuneMinute.com, and you can email DuneMinute@gmail.com if you'd like to get in touch with us. We will be back on Monday for more of the Dune Minute with another guest.
That's right.
I'm excited.
We'll see y'all then.
See ya.